Welcome to the Post Purchase Pro Podcast.
This is the only podcast that dives deep into post-purchase marketing to help Amazon sellers increase sales, ranking, reviews, and profits. It's everything that happens after the initial sale that makes a difference. We call this the back end.
Welcome to another episode of the Post Purchase Podcast. I am excited for today's episode. We have a very special guest. Let's go ahead and bring him in, Mr. Tom Meek, the Director of Partnerships at Tactually. Tom, welcome to the Post Purchase Podcast, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me, Seth. Hi, everyone. Good to be here.
And Absolutely. So, Tom, I love to start at the beginning because it gives people context. So if you don't mind, give us the two-minute version of how you got to be at Tactually and where you came from.
Yeah, for sure. So, started in the space probably about 7 years ago now, working in international tax, helping Amazon sellers, e-commerce sellers of all sizes to expand internationally with a specific focus on the UK and EU markets. What I was doing before that, I was in various sales roles and stumbled across e-commerce, as I said, about 7 years ago now. Actually then went over to a company called Payoneer, which I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with, dealing with partnerships and cross-border payments. So tax, cross-border payments, not the most interesting topics, but they're all pretty essential for allowing businesses to grow, scale, optimize, etc. So yeah, really enjoyed the journey so far.
So you've been in the game for a little bit, Tom. So before the show, we were talking about some of the opportunities that you're seeing for Amazon sellers, which is, you know, expansion into the UK, EU. But there are some specific ways to do that, some specific strategies to make sure you do it the right way. So let's jump into that a little bit, Tom. Where do you see the biggest opportunity for Amazon sellers today?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it depends where you're based, of course. I think looking at international markets is obviously a quick win when it comes to really spreading your wings, when it comes to like increasing the amount of customers you can get in front of and developing the brand in different markets. So I think, you know, US-based sellers, particularly that are, you know, quite well established, that are doing 250,000 up in the US and Canada, et cetera, and they've really conquered their home market, we'll start to look at new markets like the UK and EU, for example. So of course, there's a lot of things that you need to consider before expanding. And I'd always say it's worth jumping in with 2 feet rather than sort of doing a half-hearted effort, especially with, you know, dreaded words like Brexit and things like that, that have made that UK and EU piece, especially on Amazon FBA, a little bit more complicated than it used to be. So I really think it's worth, one, speaking to the right providers, having a really structured plan as to where you're looking to go and why, and really dig into the competitor landscape, where your product's going to sell best and why, and really, really focus on that as number one. And then, of course, looking into the common blockers and pain points, it's really important to understand from a compliance perspective whether your products can be sold in those new countries. Of course, like what the tax regulations are, which is where Tactually comes in. As Seth mentioned, I'm partnerships director here, so we can cover Tactually in a minute. I'm really looking to understand what the best strategy for you to enter that market is of course absolutely essential. So what countries to sell in, what marketplaces to sell on, and the rest obviously then unfolds from there.
Yeah, this is really good. So Tom, we've had people on the show in the past talk about how big of an opportunity it is to go from, you know, your home market, maybe the US, or the market that you sell in, maybe the US, into the UK and the EU. But why is it such a big opportunity? I mean, obviously you have access to a different population, but is it more than just that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I guess the US market is very much saturated. I think when you go into the UK and EU, you're obviously unlocking, you know, hundreds of millions of new potential buyers. And of course, different programs, especially on Amazon through FBA, make that super simple, especially things like the Pan-EU program and, you know, different FBA routes that you can take. So I'd say that a lot of people have already done the hard work. Once they've launched their products, identified a niche, built the brand, then it's just a case of like really opening up your reach. So of course, opening yourself up to new customer base is really, really important, but it's also diversifying risk as well. So of course, you know, your Amazon account or whatever channel you sell on, whichever marketplace that may be, you know, to avoid little niggly issues with suspensions and all other aspects like that, it's really worth having you know, a brand that's built and is strengthening in additional countries to diversify your risk. And I'd say also consumer habits are different in each country, you know, in different regions. Of course, with, you know, predominantly US brands coming into the UK and EU, obviously the UK is an attractive market, mainly because of obviously English speaking. There's not a huge amount of legwork when it comes to things like translations and things like that. But then you've also got, you know, the likes of Germany, France, Italy, Spain, where, you know, Amazon isn't always the largest market. You know, for instance, Allegro in Poland is actually much larger than Amazon. So what it allows you to do is, one, establish your brand and diversify risk and increase your, you know, addressable market. But it also allows you to sell on additional marketplaces that could be really, really relevant for your product and for your category. So that is a few reasons as to why it'd be important.
For sure. So Tom, that's great. So has there been a formula to the success of an Amazon seller that you've seen? Like, as an example, the average US seller should go into Germany or they should go into France, and that's a blind spot that they're missing. Like, what are the sellers not seeing out there that you can see because you're in the game from a different perspective?
Yeah, for sure. So I think typically the typical route of expansion for successful brands, once they've sort of nailed their home market and they understand how Amazon works or how their e-commerce channel works, is typically to go into UK, Germany, and France. Now, obviously, pre-Brexit, you're able to sell from the UK into Germany, into France through the Amazon Pan-EU program. And it was super simple to be able to move your stock around and just send your shipment in from China in most cases, and then redistribute from there. Obviously, things have changed a little bit since then. So, you know, you need to view the UK and EU as two different markets and have shipping directly into both channels. And off the back of that, obviously, the growth that we've seen, a lot of customers do in the US, you know, we've seen 50, 60% of US sales are typically generated in, across the UK and EU, and in most cases for brands that we work with. Now, of course, it's not always the case, but certainly the ones that do it right and they invest in the right service providers and they have the right strategy when it comes to expanding is really, really important. And then I guess another little hack that's worth mentioning is that there are certain countries that sometimes worth importing through, like the Netherlands, for example. There's ways of helping your cash flow as a business by really like deferring your import VAT. So obviously there's various taxes that you pay, similar to sales tax. When you bring your goods into the EU specifically, there's things called import taxes that you'll need to pay. But by shipping through the Netherlands and then into FBA or wherever your third-party logistics center may be or warehouses, there's ways of really you know, allowing you to save a lot of money and re-inject cash into inventory, ads, etc., to make the launches as successful as possible.
That's amazing. So, Tom, what is it that you guys do at Tactually that is, you know, different than some of the other services that are out there? Like, what's your specialty, and when should a seller seek you guys out to, you know, maybe help with the expansion or certain situations?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, just a quick one on Tactually. So Tactually was incorporated back in 2018. excuse me, our three founders were all at SKPMG, all very senior in the indirect tax team. And they really quickly identified that there was a growing need for e-commerce sellers to have a really quick and easy platform to be able to register and comply with their taxes. So they started the company, as I say, like 4 or 5 years ago now. And since we've scaled to over 10,000 e-commerce sellers, mainly Amazon sellers, using our platform, why do they use us? Well, as I said, Tactually has spent a huge amount of time, resource, and money into developing a technology that allows businesses to save time and money on registration and also ongoing filing. So when you're looking to expand your business into a new country, whether it's the UK, EU, Australia, UAE, or any other market, Tactually is one of the first people think about, and that's mainly because the taxes is the biggest blocker for entrance into a new market. So because it can take between 2, 3, 4 months to actually apply for the VAT number and have that tax number in place, before allowing, you know, the marketplace to actually physically store your goods there, it's always the first thing that brands need to do. So yeah, it's always top of mind. Think about the tax. We can get it sorted for you. And of course, because of the technology that we've created, it's a very hands-off approach, I would say. You know, you get your dashboard, you can see what VAT liability you have, when you need to pay it. And that's what most people want. They don't really want to spend hours on digging into the detail. They want to know what to pay and when and whether they're compliant and hopefully have no fees or penalties to pay. Is that fair enough to say, Seth?
That is fair enough. And I'll address my magical co-host who just pops in. So now we do have a co-host.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Hi, Sean. All good. Thank you. What about yourself?
Oh, man, I was looking at the wrong calendar, but no excuses. Taxes is something that no one wants to talk about, but it's a necessary evil. And whenever I'm out, you know, doing live events, I'm talking to Amazon sellers. We always talk about sales and growth and product development and product launching and how to get ranked. But we ignore that elephant in the room, that is taxes. And, you know, when it comes to expanding into other marketplaces, which I know is what you guys will help with, it's something that people are almost afraid to ask questions because they're almost embarrassed about what we don't know about it. So what's a big mistake, Tom, that you see a lot of sellers making when it comes to navigating those unfamiliar waters, if you will, in taxes?
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously when it comes to Amazon and e-commerce generally, it really depends on the platform you're selling in. So most common mistakes is people that haven't set up correctly. They haven't understood the obligations before they expanded. And then that's come to sort of haunt them in months or years later on down the line once they've got that successful brand set up. So I think my advice off the back of the most common mistake is speaking to tax professionals like Taxually who are offering free consultative advice. Understand what your tax requirements are before you expand. And if you don't know and you've already expanded and you're thinking, oh, I'm behind on this or I don't know what's going on with that, which I can promise you is probably 85 to 90% of every single person we speak to that's based outside of the UK and EU, so you're not on your own. You just need to ask the question, find out where you're at, and just be as knowledgeable as you can, or at least be in the know-how to know how to like navigate out of those situations. I think the other thing is penalties. You know, of course, if you're not compliant, you're not staying up to date with the filings and tax due, you can get in trouble with the tax authorities. And of course, that can lead to many different things, mainly penalties to start off with. And, you know, again, it's just a case of speaking to a tax professional, understanding your responsibilities. I'd say that's the most common thing that people get wrong, which is quite generic, but it's true.
Yeah. So, Tom, who is the perfect client for you? Who's the Amazon seller sitting out there that really needs you, but they don't really know that they need you yet?
Yeah, great question. So two answers to that. So you're either thinking about expanding into a new market, whether it's UK, EU, Australia, UAE, et cetera, and you're thinking about that launch strategy and whether you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months or a year off, we're still happy to speak to you and give you an idea for one, how long it takes, what the cost is, and also talk about barriers to entry and things that you should consider outside of tax as well. We like to give a full like A to Z when it comes to actually like successfully launching your business into a new country. And the main reason that is because unless it's successful, you don't want to continue selling there. So your success is our success at the end of the day. So anyone that's considering it, even in the early stages, please reach out and feel free to get in contact and just have a chat about what your plans are. We're always encouraged to find out about your business, the setup, the strategy, and we can maybe introduce you to some new partners along the way as well.
Tom, go ahead, finish.
So I was just going to say the second type of customer that could be relevant to Taxually is someone that's already selling in the UK and EU, either isn't happy with their tax provider. In some cases, they may not even know who their tax provider is, or they've just got some questions about what the hell's going on with Brexit, with OSS, IOSS, anything like that. We're happy to jump on calls and just be a bit of a sounding board for you as an option.
Okay, so Tom, I'm an Amazon seller. I'm selling in the U.S. Things are going well. And I know that my next big win is going to come from expanding into a foreign marketplace. What's the first place I should go to? Which marketplace should I expand to first if I'm only Amazon.com?
Yep. Amazon.com. Obviously is product specific and also category specific, but most cases, businesses will look at either getting into Canada, Mexico, through Amazon's NAF program and doing the remote fulfillment from that side of things. But I'd say that like a lot of people have already ticked that off or have looked into it, and it may not be relevant for them straight away. So the UK obviously is obviously a really great market for people to get into. There's no language barriers. And of course the process to import and to stay compliant is fairly straightforward, especially for FBA. It's really easy. And then most businesses will then go into Germany at the same time and France, or if they're much smaller and they want to just take it step by step, depending on where they are with the year, if they've got seasonal products, depending on their launch strategy, then businesses may go for one or the other. But certainly UK and Germany are the larger markets and that, you know, that see the most traffic and most revenue opportunities. And then on from that is businesses that are tending to do half a million upwards. I'd say it's rare that businesses wouldn't launch on the Pan-European program. So the Pan-EU program is an Amazon FBA, Amazon FBA scheme, which allows businesses to send their stock into one EU country, into the fulfillment center. And then Amazon will be responsible for redistributing your products in accordance to customer demand, where you have the option to fulfill stock locally. So that could be in Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland, Czech Republic. So you're able to spread your products very quickly from one shipment into one country and allow Amazon to take care of the rest. And that gives you a really great spread. Okay. Once you've localized your listings and things.
So low-hanging fruit for me then would be immediately Canada, Mexico would be my first foreign marketplace just to get my feet wet. And then Germany and UK would be the next most obvious. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I'd say that it's a 50-50. I think some brands would prefer to get into the UK and EU first before Canada or Mexico. Okay. But it just depends on their appetite to get into the UK market. I think it depends on the competitor landscape and how desirable their products are in the UK and EU.
All right. Can we talk a little bit, Tom, about cost as a seller? You know, if I'm reasonably successful, I need to budget. What is this going to cost me to get into the other marketplaces? I don't want to do it myself. I want to hire a VAT specialist like you and Taxually. What should I expect to spend in this expansion? Is it by marketplace or how would you explain that?
Yeah, so it's not calculated based on revenue. It's calculated based on number of countries. So as a non EU citizen, for example, there would be additional charges that do bump up the price a little bit because of fiscal representation. And that's basically where we become partly liable for you as a seller in the country. So it depends on where you're based, firstly, but to give you a ballpark, each country may charge maybe $750 approximately. So, and that's for annual filing. So to set up in the UK and to file and have your taxes taken care of you with the tax relief service, it would cost about $750 per year. And that will increase by the number of countries that you have. So 3X, 4X, depending on how many countries that you're going after. So that's a ballpark figure. Obviously, it can vary depending on the book where you're established and what sort of level of support you want.
Yeah, this is good. So, Tom, we're running out of time here, but this has been great. Let's move into the last part of our show, where we have two fun questions. And the first question is, what is your all-time favorite business book?
Oh, all-time favorite business book. You caught me here.
Or it could be business resource. It's up to you.
I mean, what is it? The book that's all about the 5 a.m. club is always a good one.
Okay.
That would probably be one of my favorites from years ago.
I've read that one.
I haven't. The 5 a.m. What's it called?
5 a.m. club.
What's the last word? Club.
Sorry, say it again.
5 a.m. what?
Club.
The 5 a.m. club.
Okay, 5 a.m. club. Like this.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I speak a little bit of hillbilly English over here, and you're very proper. So another fun question, Tom. Check out the 5 a.m. Club book if you haven't. But next question, what's something that you have purchased personally in the last year that some may consider as a splurge, but you definitely do not regret the purchase?
What does splurge mean?
It means someone may look at that as something you probably should not have spent money on. It's sort of showing off.
Or you spent too much on.
What have I spent too much money on that others would consider? God, a long list, I think.
Now we find out how fun you are. I mean, are you buying yachts or are you buying like travel?
I bought my dream car, probably not my dream car, but bought my one of my favorite cars of probably 5 years, and I bought that a year ago, and it's making me very happy every day.
What is the car?
It's a Jaguar F-Type.
Oh,
nice.
Very, very British. It's a little sporty.
Yeah, it is British.
I guess it's
not a little British, bit, Seth. It's British.
British, yeah. We got to get the T's. Yeah.
So it's a little bit flashy, but I love driving it. It makes me feel good. And yeah, it's fun.
I love it. That's exactly what we were looking for.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Sean, why don't you take us out of here?
I'm not sure I remember how. So, Tom, sorry, I was a little bit tardy there. It happens from time to time. I was actually on my favorite splurge, which is a boat I just purchased recently.
Lovely.
As you can tell, I'm on the water here. So I had to hurry back in and shave my face and jump on camera. So I'm going to have to go back and watch a little bit of the intro to learn a little bit more about Tactually, because I think what you're doing is, like I said, it's like the elephant in the room that no one really wants to talk about. It's not a sexy subject, so to speak. But when it comes to expansion, it's something that's super important, should be top of mind for sellers as they look for growing their brand. So thank you so much for taking the time out to hang out with us today. My name is Sean Hart, and that's my co-host, Seth Stevens, who started the show today. And this is Tom Meek, and I want to thank you again from Tactually. Don't go anywhere, Tom. We'll see you guys on the next episode.